Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. If a very pious person has to curse us, then can you imagine how we'll feel and how worried won't we become? And that too in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If this pious person has to curse us, then obviously more worried we'll become. The most pious and the most beloved of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was an embodiment of mercy, full of mercy. He rarely cursed anybody. And if he has to curse us, then this is enough for us to take heed and to take a lesson and to be saved from that kind of, that category of people who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed. So keeping this in mind, we read this hadith, the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Ka'b bin Ujra radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come close to the minbar. So this is the minbar in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we came near the minbar. When he climbed the first step of the minbar, he said, Ameen. When he climbed the second step, he said, Ameen. When he climbed the third step, he said, Ameen. When he came down, we said, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today we have heard from you something which we had never heard before. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I climbed the first step, Jibreel alayhi salam appeared before me and said, destruction. In other words, the curse to the person who found the blessed month of Ramadan and let it pass without being forgiven. So we should take lesson from this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is raining down in abundance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned yesterday, Mawlana mentioned in the Jummah Bayan, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to punish the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then He wouldn't have given us this month of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raining down His mercy, His forgiveness. And then too, if a person doesn't take from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't take from the treasures of Allah, is not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how wretched, how unfortunate this person is. So I said, Ameen. When I climbed the second step, he said, destruction to the person before whom you are, that is Rasulullah's name is also taken, and it does not send durood and salam on you. For example, by saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in any majlis, any gathering wherein the name of Rasulullah is mentioned, then at least one time you should recite durood upon Rasulullah. And all the better if a person every time the name of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is taken, then recites durood upon Rasulullah. None of us would like to be called a miser. It's very offending, a person will take it very badly. Yet we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith says the miser is that person, or the worst miser is a person who, when my name is taken, he doesn't send durood upon me. So very, very easy, not difficult, shortest form of durood is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At least this much we can say. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam replied, Ameen. When I climbed the third step, he said, destruction to that person in whose lifetime both his parents or either one of them reaches old age, and because of not serving them, he is not allowed to enter Jannah. I said, Ameen. When it comes to parents also, then in many places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein He mentions His right of being worshipped alone, side by side Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the right of parents. To such an extent, even if they are disbelievers, then too we are commanded to respect them. Yes, obviously when it comes to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are commanding us something against that, then we don't obey them. But that too, also with respect. We don't listen if it's against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that too, with respect. So this hadith, when we read the hadith of this nature, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam cursed certain people, then we should think to ourselves that who is cursing, who is saying the Ameen, who is making the curse, Jibreel alayhi salam. And keeping this in mind, then this will have more effect, inshallah. Just a correction, the previous day I mentioned the masla of a person who, whilst fasting, his gums bleed or his nose bleeds. I mentioned the masla incorrectly, it was an error. So if a person who is fasting and his gums are bleeding, then obviously if no blood goes down his throat, then obviously the fast will not break. But if the blood content is more than the amount of saliva and that goes down the throat, then the fast will break in that case. If the blood content and the saliva amount is equal and that goes down the throat, then in that case also the fast will break. But if the saliva is more than the amount of blood and that goes down the throat, then the fast will not break. This was a correction from the previous day. And how to determine this? If a person spits, for example, and he sees there's more redness, then obviously that will mean that the blood content is more. If there's more, it's more clear, then you can gauge from that the saliva content is more.